Good morning, church. Our scripture reading today is found in Acts 3:11-13. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "My fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, had glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go." May God bless the reading of this word today.
It is so good to look out over your congregation and see faces that I don't recognize, as well as the ones that we do. Kathy and I are so happy to be with you. It's always a privilege to say yes, and here we are. I think I'm on. I'm hearing echoes, at least. I'm getting to the age where my ears are telling me that everybody's talking, and I can't hear anyone. We are there. Very nice to be here. Got acquainted with, Daniel and Jackie. Thank you. I couldn't hear it. Daniel and Jackie this morning. I understand she's an Adventist Frontier missionary. And I don't know what country you're... Laos. That is a country I know very little about, and I suppose there's a lot of us in that category. We have a grandson who is scheduled sometime this fall to deliver a new aircraft. Frank, I think I sent you a picture a few months ago. It's all ready. And he's still scheduled to deliver that to Palawan, to Adventist Frontier Missions. And we're looking forward to the time when he can get that over there. It's been delayed a number of almost years now, and we hope that it happens pretty soon. We have a new great-grandson, the only great-grandchild we have so far. But the odds are looking pretty good that there'll be more. And we just got back from Alaska visiting him and his parents. And I tell you, we need some of Alaska's rain. Last 3 years ago when we were up there, it was dry and hot. Not this time. It was wet and cool. Rained every day. I thought of you when we were up there. 105, 106, 104. And when we got home, we had a tree that was testifying to the fact it had turned all brown. But we don't have automatic sprinklers, so that's just life. It's good to see you. I'm soaking it up. Allow me this moment. Christine just read a few moments ago about a Sabbath day in Old Jerusalem. It was a sunny January day when I was in Old Jerusalem, 60 degrees, had a jacket on, had a knit cap, breeze was blowing. After worshiping with a little congregation of Adventist Christians there, in Jerusalem, I took some snacks and I set out to walk the ancient city alone. I wanted to think. I wanted to absorb. I wanted to feel, touch where Jesus lived and ministered and died and resurrected. Thank my sister, Delana, for paying my way that time. Appreciated that because we had four kids in academy at that time. I'd have never gone without her paying the way. All my life, the Lord has periodically increased my thirst to be whole and more whole and more whole. Ever had that experience? It's called growing in grace. And this day was uncluttered, and I wanted it to stay that way. My first stop was the Sheep Gate. If you've looked at a map of Old Jerusalem, the Sheep Gate is up there at the northeast corner of the Old Temple Mount. If we were looking at it here, it would be up there. That's north, right? If you look at maps today, it's probably not called the Sheep Gate. You'll find that it's called the Lion's Gate or St. Stephen's Gate. And you face west as you go through the gate. The walls are thick. Those are ancient walls. Of course, they don't go clear back to the time of Christ, some of them. They've been rebuilt two or three times, some of those walls, because Jerusalem has a habit of being conquered and destroyed a time or two. But as you go through that gate, maybe 25 feet, I don't remember, 30 feet thick, and then you continue on west, you come to the first door. It's just a wooden door in a stone wall, and you push it open, and you step into another side of Jerusalem, another part of the city. Just a short block inside, and maybe 30 feet down in a hole, is the Pool of Bethesda. It's a stagnant green mess, at least the day I was there. Smelled of urine and homeless, but it was there. Touched the walls, touched the stones. Now if we'll just do a 180, we've gone west, turned north to Bethesda. If we'll just turn around and go 400 yards to the south and watch the clock winding backwards so fast you can hardly see it spin. Let's go 1900 years. Here's Peter and the Apostle John walking up the steps to the temple. They have just come from a Bible study. As we get close there, there's an old Palestinian gentleman. Actually, he's not old. I think he's probably young. He's standing there with a peg for a leg. Our guide tells us previously, a few days back, that this man had committed an act of terrorism and blown his limb off. And so now he's sitting there, standing there on one leg, and he wants some money. Everybody in Jerusalem wants money. They need money. There's a lot of homeless people there. As Peter and John come up the steps to the temple, here's a man lying near the gate, beautiful. Their eyes meet, and he pulls out his pan. I don't know whether it was a crock or a clay pot or what it was, but we know what pans are, don't we? We meet them at intersections. And we give when the Spirit moves us. Even though we know that a lot of the time the money doesn't go where you want it to go. But I'll leave that choice to Jesus and do what I need to do now and then. The guy swallows his pride. Could you spare a shekel or two? Could you spare a shekel or two? His family wants him to support himself. But it's his friends who help him hang out. Could you spare a shekel? He hoped to see Jesus of Nazareth. He'd been hearing about him. He'd never walked a mile. He'd never run a race. He had never won any kind of competition. Never skidded on loose gravel. The Bible says he was crippled from birth. Jesus really was the man he needed to see, and that's who he was looking for. When this poor dude got settled in place one day, he learned that the teacher had been murdered. Wasn't going to be looking for every strange face now, hoping that it was the Nazarene. No. Now he wouldn't be searching. He would only what's expected of him. His family says, "Get out there, man." His friends were the ones who took him every day. There is surprisingly good news for me in this account. How do I know? Because the Spirit talked to me a little bit. I didn't hear a voice, so don't worry. But the Spirit said, you know, you've been looking for something better. You've been crying over missed opportunities. You've been disappointed over some major setback. But Jesus doesn't have to be present. His Holy Spirit is everywhere. And he'd like to give you, you and me, exactly what we're longing for. He's around every corner. He's in every circumstance. Those who represent him are becoming more numerous by the hour. How many baptisms a day just in the Adventist faith are we seeing today? I think it's well into the 3,000 or 4,000 a day around the world. And we're not the only ones who are calling people to repentance. We have a special message for the world at this time of Earth's history, but God says, I am working and my Father is working. Jesus says, I am working and my Father is working also. And everywhere you see people called to follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit's busy. Praise God. I'm glad it isn't all on our shoulders. Actually, it's on his shoulders. That's all we need to be concerned about. If you need the touch of God's Spirit through one of God's people, your prayer will be answered. I have a friend who's old and retired now. Chaplain Gary Strunk, U.S. Army retired. He told me the story himself about a kid who was in the Vietnam conflict, hadn't seen an Adventist fellow believer. He'd met some Christians, but he was just so thirsty to have somebody to spend Sabbath with. And he was by himself walking out through a burned over area. Didn't expect to meet anybody. Just nastiness everywhere. Items of war and death scattered here and there. Agent Orange had done its work on a lot of the plant life. And here he is just marching up a hill, looking at the ground, kicking a rock now and then. And as he came over the crest, he heard the sound of boots on the ground. And he looked up quickly. And as he got close to the stranger, he recognized him as his friend and buddy and roommate from Oakwood College. Now, while you're trying to figure out the logistics of all of that and how it all came about, let's take a look at Peter and John. Coming up the steps, alive with passion and love for the Lord, the one who had just recently resurrected, gone to heaven, back to his Father. They've come from a small group prayer meeting, and they nearly stumble over the man. And before the poor man can gather his thoughts, he holds up his pen. Peter and John are suddenly struck with a memory. They'd seen Jesus do it before. What would he do in this moment? Aha, WWJD. Peter's no dummy. You don't make a living fishing unless you know something. And John with him. Peter stalls for just a moment to get the man's full attention. And what Peter says, many of you lisped in Sunday school or Sabbath school when you were kids. Remember that memory verse? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give you. Or thee, when we learned it. And he says to the man, get up, walk. He hands out his hand, stretches out his hand to the man, and the man reaches up in unbelieving faith. He could hardly believe what he was doing. And he felt the strength, and he got up and started to walk. Just watch this guy. I don't know about you, but I'm going to dance before Jesus for a little while. I can only imagine what some of you are going to do. You know what the song says. Take your pick. There will be a time when I'm absolutely spellbound and speechless. There will be a time when I dance before you, Jesus. There will be a time when I have little to say, and there will be a time when I have a testimony that won't quit. What's your testimony? It's going to be a great day. So the man finds his legs working, and he starts to walk away, and he realizes what's happening here. And he's in breaking into a trot, and then he swings back for a hug from John and Peter. He's all over the place. And there's a fellow who he recognizes. It's his neighbor. Hey, look at my legs. I've never been this high off the ground. This is wonderful. These guys said it was Jesus of Nazareth. As far as I know, it was them, but it doesn't matter. Look at me. Look at my legs. I'm walking. Are you hearing God's word to you this morning? The guy swings back again for another hug. The three become the focus of wondering worshipers for the next 45 minutes. I mean, out on Solomon's porch, it's pandemonium. Did you see? This is the same guy, been here for years, born that way. Everything was fine until the priests and the rulers arrived to investigate. You know, the temple police, there were a lot of people that were kind of wild-eyed and bushy-tailed. They needed a police force. We have security, don't we, at our hospitals and sometimes in some of our conference offices. And now we have security in our Dinuba church. Don't you pull any funnies in Dinuba. Former CHP officers and others. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a harbinger of what is to come. President Trump just advised us the other day that his advisors had said, if the Democrats win the Senate, watch for widespread violence. We're in a different day. We've been used to quiet, America. Some of us, at least, who are old enough to remember when we rode our bikes in the afternoon and into the evening all over town, played kick the can in the alley with all the neighbor kids half the night, went to the store with my 36 cents and bought a quart of milk and a loaf of bread and walked all those blocks from Dillon's Food Market home by myself. Did you go? You might have gone with me, Dillon. I don't remember. We're in a different day. So the temple police get there. Pointed questions, powerful testimony, powerful truth-telling from Peter. And he and John are sent away to jail for the night. There'd be a hearing the next morning. The priests and other religious leaders are convicted, frightened, angry, concerned, driven beyond reason. They refuse to yield what they know is true. And they set out to silence the evidence and fight God to the finish. The next day, they've cooled down a little bit on the outside. Peter and John are called in. They're not quite as adamant as they were the evening before. They realize that the sympathies of the people are with Jesus' friends. And they also listen to Peter as he pumps them full of truth about what they, in their haste to protect their jobs and their religion and their lives, did to Jesus Christ. They are frozen into silence as Peter reviews the life of Jesus. The evidence is that he is God come to earth. The prophecies being fulfilled in their rejection and crucifixion of Christ. The evidence that Jesus now lived at God's right hand. All of this while the guy is standing here on both of his legs. And hundreds probably know about him and are probably in the wings listening to what's going on. And so they did what they could only do. With grave threats, they were told, don't speak anymore in the name of this Jesus. And they cut him loose. Now, let's go to the prayer meeting that Peter and John went to immediately. Listen to the prayers. You don't have to look this up. I'm going to read it to you in a newer translation. I want you to listen to Acts chapter 4, verses 24 to 31. Listen to the prayer that's going up as Peter and John join the group. When the rest of the Lord's followers heard what they had to say about what happened, they prayed together and said, Master, talking to Jesus, talking to the Lord, Master, you created heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. And by the Holy Spirit, you spoke to our ancestor David. He was your servant, and you told him to say these words. And they're quoting from the Old Testament. Why are all the Gentiles so furious? Why do people make foolish plans? The kings of earth prepare for war, and the rulers join together against the Lord and his Messiah. End of quote. Here in Jerusalem, they prayed, Herod and Pontius Pilate get together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. Then they turned against your holy servant Jesus, your holy chosen Messiah. They did what you, in your power and wisdom, had already decided would happen. Lord, listen to their threats. We are your servants, so make us brave enough to speak your message. Show your mighty power as we heal the people, as we work miracles and wonders in the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after they prayed, the meeting place shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and bravely spoke God's message. Does this increase your confidence to stand up a little sooner and stand up a little higher for Jesus when the time comes? Does me. I can't depend on that feeling, but my, I am energized with the truth that the Holy Spirit wants to take charge of my life and your life. Oh, you're not going to go around emptying every bed in the hospital with words from Jesus, probably. But signs and wonders are going to follow the believers just before Jesus comes. I don't suppose I'd know what to do or even recognize it if the Spirit left me or the Spirit left the church in this town or some other town. Would we recognize it? Do you think the Spirit can use you to bring hope and healing to someone in distress? Of course He can. Open yourself up to that. You might not become the known miracle worker. I'm not seeking that, for heaven's sake. But let's be ready to do what the Spirit says for us to do. He will make Himself recognizable. You don't have to conjure this up on your own. You don't have to, well, let's see, what do I do to be a miracle worker? No. The Spirit will give gifts as He sees fit. But just be open to Him. Will He ever abandon you or forsake you? Absolutely not. And here's the good part. Does a relationship with Jesus have to suffer in His absence? Jesus said to His disciples, "You're going to do greater things than I do." Greater in magnitude, greater in numbers, perhaps. I don't think there's anything greater than raising somebody from the dead. So let's not get a big ego. I believe that the disciples enjoyed a closer friendship, a connection with Jesus in His absence than they did when He was still present with them. Has God quit communicating with His beloved bride here on earth? I think not. His word is as powerful today as ever. Don't raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. This is the latest copy of the Adventist Review. I hope you get it. It's $19.95 for a year. It's the cheapest thing you can find around. Yeah, commercial's over. Look at page 5 with me. I assume that you have it at home. If you don't, shame on you. It's not the only Adventist news out there. It's probably the most uplifting. And you know about Spectrum and you know about Adventist Today. It's worth reading. But this is the official journal of the church. The editor, Bill Knott, just got this yesterday. Shares about what it means to be Spirit-led. He's a pithy editor. He gives 3 examples. I'm only going to give you one. I'm going to read it for you because he's wordy, but I want you to hear it. He gives an example of how the Spirit leads. He was sitting on a committee one day. Like all committees, this one was composed to illustrate the church's collective embrace of godly diversity. Women, men, seniors, young adults, white, black, brown, all crowd around this table. They are charged with hammering out a policy to guide a movement, Advent movement, begun with simple structures and a great wariness about man-made legislation. But something happens in this committee for which no member prepared, nor even, some confess, could have expected. Prayer happens
deep, pleading prayer as one by one agendas we had brought with us are set aside. We speak in careful, moderate language of positions we really don't personally endorse. We listen better than we ever have. We try proposals, waiting for the language that will make consensus possible. 90 minutes later, the shyest member of the committee offers this summary. It has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to do this. Whatever it was they decided. He didn't tell us what it was. And then he begins his commentary. This remnant movement, born in the windstorm of the Spirit's undeniable activity, still hungers for the evidence that we are Spirit-led. I think we have not been in a time like we are in now in our church history where we hunger more for evidence that the Spirit is still speaking, still walking with us, still leading us prophetically forward. This remnant movement, born in the windstorm of the Spirit's undeniable activity, still hungers for the evidence that we are Spirit-led and guided by more than our collective acumen, smarts. We've got to know that it's not just smarts that are getting us to where God wants us to be. We read the stories of 150 years ago, narratives all charged with healings, miracles, and unexpected outcomes, and ask ourselves if we are truly the descendants of a generation who lived much closer to the book of Acts. Somberly, we wonder, would we know if the Spirit left us? Or would we go on opening the doors and planning the events for those who love routine and sameness? The great good news is that the Spirit never leaves His own. That even in our moments or weeks or years of personal or corporate unresponsiveness, we don't cease to be the ones with whom He strives. We don't cease to be the ones with whom He strives. 100 signs are all about us, some as personal as the answers to deeply private prayer, others found in thoughtful, calibrated decisions taken by leaders who serve us at tens of thousands of local congregations that are collectively the theater of God's grace. According to the Apostle John, the churches of this era, that's today, 21st century, received the counsel sent from heaven because he says, let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now would be a good time to listen, wouldn't it? Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we just love You beyond words. And if we haven't fallen in love with You yet, we know that You're going to show Yourself to each one of us who asks. Be our friend, be our comforter, be our guide. Be that voice to us that says, this is the way, walk ye in it. Open our hearts, Lord, to Your Spirit today. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.